Now, I would imagine that this isn't a surprise to many of you in terms of, you read what I was going to talk about and you came. So, but I do want to say that this is a bit of a trigger alert. I'm not going to talk about stories or anything like that, but I am going to talk about sexual harassment, so be forewarned. I want to help you see how I got to where I'm at. The Black Lives Matter movement began in 2013 by three African American women who were responding to the acquittal of George Zimmerman in the death of Trayvon Martin. The movement became nationally known as the group staged protests as other black men, like Michael Brown and Eric Garner, to name a few, died in interactions with the police. The Me Too movement, you might be surprised to hear, has its origins all the way back in 2006, when Tarana Burke, an African-American activist, was working with young marginalized girls. Now, according to Ms. Burke, the Me Too tagline was being used to empower young women through empathy. She stated that after putting up a MySpace page with the tagline on it, they had so many responses that she realized this is bigger than we thought. And in 2017, unaware of the earlier movement, white actress Alyssa Milano tweeted, "If you've been sexually harassed or assaulted, write #MeToo as a reply to this tweet." You see, Ms. Milano stated that she wanted this simple act to indicate the enormity of the situation. Now, these social movements have had an impact on our culture in the United States so far, I think, and as a liberal faith, these movements certainly have had effect on our social justice programming. A while back, I want to say sometime in November, there was a podcast that I was listening to. It's actually one of my favorites. It's a podcast called Real Men Feel. And it's run by two men who belong to an organization called the Mankind Project that I really respect. They were doing a couple of shows on sexual harassment, and it was in response to the Me Too movement. And as I listened, I kept thinking to myself, wow, it's really interesting. There are so many parallels here to the Black Lives Matter movement. And there are ways in which I wonder about whether or not it's easier for some folks to hear these same questions through this different lens. For example, in the podcast, they were talking about how we use language that protects the men who raped the woman. And it puts the responsibility of the rape on the woman. So, for example, we say a woman was raped instead of saying a man raped a woman last night. I was struck by this. And I thought, but it's interesting because we do similar things to people of color, don't we? We often say things like, we'll have two headlines talking about somebody robbing somebody else. And one will say, a black man was caught stealing. And the next headline, describing a similar situation but with a white thief, just says, thief nabbed. It's as if we want to make sure to call out that a person of color was to blame here. After I listened to this podcast, I started talking to other people. I started talking to other ministers. I started talking, well, let me be clear, I'm not a minister yet. But I started talking to other people that are ministers. I started talking to my husband. I started talking to colleagues. I started talking to my friends. I started asking them questions like, what have you noticed about these two movements? How have they been received by you? And how have they been received in the nation? And how do you think the two movements compare? Now, let me be clear. We're talking about tens of people, not hundreds of people. It's not a survey. But the conversations I had reinforced what I was noticing. And so I want to bring it here to you today with the hope that, what did you say to the children? Sometimes what you need is right in front of you. The thing I was checking out was that it's been my experience that the Me Too movement has been received more readily than the Black Lives Matter movement. I've heard things from other people like, you know, there isn't the same kind of dismissal of women's experiences as there have been with folks who are black or brown skin. The Black Lives Matter movement, it feels more like you're either with us or you're against us. And yet, the Me Too movement, it feels like it's filled with more curiosity. More people being willing to explore what it means. I've even noticed some more outright acceptance. For example, in the podcast that I referenced above, one of the hosts had his wife on the show as a guest, and he checked in with her, and he said very earnestly, you know, I'm a straight heterosexual male, and I'm sure I have sexually harassed women without intending to, and as a man, I don't know what sexual harassment is. Now, I mean, I get the physical stuff. I think the average man gets that, but where's the line? If I'm talking to my buddies in the locker room and women are not present, is that sexual harassment? And I think what grabbed me about this particular conversation was how earnest he was. I think it got me that he was really serious about it. And what I found compelling was that he was willing to be accountable. He was stating, look, this is who I am, and I'm sure that I've messed up. And how often are we as white folk willing to do that with people of color? I have to say, I don't feel like I hear it as much. I know I hear it sometimes, but I don't hear it as much. In another situation, there was Chris Cefalu is a partner of one of my ministerial colleagues, and he recently wrote an open letter to men on Facebook. In it, Chris calls men to close their mouths and listen, to attend to their own triggered responses, and to have women's backs. It was a very long letter, and it was pretty intense in some places, but I have to say that as a woman, there were ways that I felt really seen after reading his letter. And it got me to thinking, isn't this exactly what people of color have been asking white folks to do for years? Like, I think what I've been hearing from folks is, look, okay, shut your mouth and listen. When you get upset, figure out what that is for you. And don't ask me to explain it to you. Don't ask me to fix it for you. Figure it out. You're empowered adults. Figure it out. Just be an ally. And I got to wondering, you know, if a white person were to do what Chris did, were to call out to other white people and say, folks, this is imperative. We've got to do this. We've got to do this not just for our brothers and sisters and siblings who are people of color, but we've got to do this for us. Think. Close your mouth and listen. What's that old saying? God gave us one mouth, but he gave us two ears. Use them. Would a person of color have the same reaction I had? Wow, I feel seen. Somebody gets it. Somebody sees me. My experience and those of the informal group that I've questioned seems to be that the hashtag MeToo movement is having a different kind of impact. People seem to be more accepting and that the sexual harassment happens with alarming frequency. So then I started thinking, so what's the difference? What's the difference between these two movements? And what can we learn from the Me Too movement and bring it back to the Black Lives Matter movement as white folks? Because you know the race conversation's coming up again at some point. We know it's coming. So what can we learn? And what's true is I don't have a lot of answers. But I do have a couple thoughts and I do have some questions that I hope you'll engage with me. First thing that comes up for me is it seems like it's all about relationship. I mean, I can't think of a single person I know that isn't close to somebody who identifies as a female. But I know lots of people. I know lots of my own family of origin that could say that they don't have a single black or brown skin friend. What impact does that have? I think it might have the impact of somebody being able to accept that what is coming out of somebody's mouth is true. My husband approached me about a month after the Me Too movement started, and he said, "Honey, I wanted to ask you something. I noticed that you have not said Me Too on Facebook, and I was wondering, what does that mean? Have you not experienced sexual harassment?" And I looked at him like this. And I said to him, "Honey, I'm a woman. Of course I've experienced sexual harassment. Your daughters, who are 14 and 17, they've experienced sexual harassment." He kind of shook his head, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I guess I'm not surprised. It just really makes me sad." Now, my husband's a pretty hip guy, and he gets it pretty readily, and I know that there are some men out there that would have a different reaction or would feel differently about it. But if a man were willing to ask a woman about it, somebody he really loved and cared, and she said to him, "Oh, honey, let me tell you, this is how it works in my world," don't you think he'd be more willing to receive that answer and not try to pick it apart, not try to, I'm sure you've heard the phrase, mansplain it. Brené Brown is a sociologist who looks at topics, courage, vulnerability, empathy, shame. I highly recommend anything the woman has ever written to you. And you can even look her up on YouTube. She's amazing. Her latest book is Braving the Wilderness, The Quest for True Belonging and the Courage to Stand Alone. And she looks at what supports us in embracing who we are. And she says, people are hard to hate close up. Move in. Now, I'm not saying that I think that we should all go out and try to make friends with people of color. I mean, that would be lovely on some level, but I'm not quite that manipulative. I mean, if it happens authentically fantastic. But what I do think is that I think that we need to think about what it means to be in relationship. What changes when we're in relationship with somebody else? I wonder if once we have established a relationship with somebody, if other things don't become possible. For example, is it possible that it becomes easier to consider things like institutional sexism, or if we're talking about racism, institutional racism? Does that construct become more possible for somebody who has a relationship and who can begin to see how it's affecting the person they have a relationship with? And what can we learn from that? And is it possible that when the conversation gets more complex, because it inevitably does, right? I mean, look at the Me Too movement right now with, what is his name, Ansari's story, right? Like, that's complexifying the conversation. But is it that the relationship holds the conversation in a different way that allows us to complexify it without writing it off? It allows us to still engage it. I don't know. I recognize these are just my suppositions. And to some degree, we're going to have to watch everything play out, right? But it seems to me we have an opportunity as a religious community to play around with what's working and what isn't. So let's play. So, we don't have lots of time, but for just a minute, talk to two or three people around you. Talk to them about what you've noticed. Go. Thank you. You know, it's always fun to do these kinds of things because it really raises the energy in the room, right? But it's always so hard to come back and listen after that, isn't it? You get excited about it. I hope that this has been an interesting and actually helpful exercise for you. I hope that by thinking about the impact of one kind of conversation, we can learn things about another kind of conversation. And I hope that the energy that I felt in this room carries forward in the important work that you will do around both of these movements. I have faith that it will. Amen.